Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm glad you're here. Remember Dave Kansas? He was here not too long ago, and he wrote a book called The Wall Street Journal's Guide to the End of Wall Street as We Know It. He's also editor-at-large for FiLife.com and a member of our Brain Trust, and he's here now to talk to us about something very important. Dave Kansas, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. As most people know, even if they're not directly connected to the banking industry, even casual observers have been, if they pay attention at all, know that the 19 big banks have been going through what the Treasury Department has been calling, and the Fed has been calling, stress tests. Now, we all know what a stress test is, Dave, with regard to doing a stress test on a treadmill, that sort of thing. Explain what the stress test means to our audience.
Well, the stress tests for the banks are the Federal Reserve sent examiners into the biggest banks for the last several weeks, and they took the banks' books, and they ran the banks through a number of scenarios about what would happen if the economy got worse. And the basic idea was to determine whether or not they needed to raise more money in order to be healthy enough to deal with any difficulties in the economy up ahead.
So, folks, if you've ever done, as I've recommended that you do over the last 12 years, if you've ever done a three-scenario cash flow plan for your banker, where you said, okay, banker, this model right here is what we think we can do. This is the one if things go really great, and this is the one which is my break even. And so, if things get really bad, If it goes down this low, I will be able to break even and still make my payment to you. And so that's kind of demonstrate to your banker your own little stress test. How bad, how slow would the economy have to be? How bad would my sales have to be? How far off would my collections have to be? And so what they did was they built those kinds of scenarios for them, didn't they? If unemployment went to a certain level, if the economy dropped to a certain level, et cetera, what would your bank look like? Is that kind of what they did?
That's exactly right. They ran through those, similar to the cash flow scenario. They just used the macroeconomy to determine if these things went awry, how would the bank's capital position hold up, and how healthy would they be?
And of course, folks, our little scenario is like clipping your fingernails compared to what the banks went through in the stress test, Dave, which would be like major, comparing clipping your fingernails to major surgery. It's a big deal. So how did the banks do? What did they do? About 50-50? About half did well and half didn't?
That's about right. About 50-50. I'd say overall, most people thought it went a lot better than it was going to go. I mean, back when the process started nearly 3 months ago, I think there was a great deal of fear and concern that the tests would go very poorly. But overall, I think people thought they did better than expected. About half the banks need to raise money, and the total amount that needs to be raised is probably in the neighborhood of $75 billion in order to have everybody up to snuff according to what the government wants.
Am I correct in my memory that it looks like some of the banks are actually able to go to the market and raise capital without having to discount too much, without having to ask the government for more?
That's right, and we've been seeing that in the last few weeks. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and others have been able to go to market without government guarantees and start raising money. And there seems to be a different mood about the banks overall, which is positive for the economy, and it's a long, long way from where we were just a few months ago, where things looked decidedly much, much worse as it related to the banks.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you had the courage and the money over the last 60 to 90 days, you could have become super wealthy just by investing in some of the banks, the way the stock's gone, couldn't you?
Yeah, and I think the key word there is courage. you know, the Bank of America, you know, is, I think, quadrupled. I think Citigroup has tripled. I mean, you're looking at, you know, a lot of those, you know, Citigroup got down to a dollar. Bank of America got down to two and something. And you really could have, you could have done a lot of damage if you had the courage, no question.
Well, and the thing about it is, you know, think about it, Dave. As much as I kind of, I do have a tendency to diss the big banks some, because I think big banks don't serve small business owners as well as they could. I'm a absolute advocate of independent community banks and also credit unions, local credit unions. I think those are the folks who are out there in flyover America, Main Street America, serving small business owners so well without a lot of credit scoring, allowing relationships to be formed between bankers and business owners. I'm so supportive of that sector of the financial community. But the truth is, with Wall Street basically collapsing and you know, the way things have happened with the investment banks, there are no more investment banks, as far as I know, on Wall Street. You know, capitalism, American style of capitalism, is going to need these big banks, aren't we?
We are. I mean, all the, I mean, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are around, but technically they're bank holdings now.
Yeah.
And so they're not the old investment banks. And, yeah, we're, you know, the big banks play an important role in terms of financing corporate growth and helping hire people. But it's the, you know, most of the jobs that are created in the United States are created by small businesses. And it's the smaller independent banks that do most of the heavy lifting there. And they probably don't get the notice they deserve. But one thing I'd point out is that a lot of those banks, smaller banks, were forced by the government to take bailout money last fall. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who've been the fastest to pay that money back. More than a dozen of these smaller banks have returned that money and are moving smartly to get back into the business they're good at, which is helping small businesses grow.
Hasn't it been fun for you, Dave, to see the when organizations get money from the government, and the associated strings and baggage that comes with it? Hasn't it been fun to see the repudiation of government intervention, and with these people trying to give the money back? That's been fun to watch, hasn't it?
Yeah, and they've been pretty aggressive about wanting to do it, which has been pretty fun to watch too.
And sometimes the government wouldn't even let them give it back. So,
Government's like, wait, hold on, let us stick around a little longer.
Hold on, Dave. Dave Kansas is our guest, folks. He and I will be right back after these messages. More to come. When he after. I'm Jim Blessing. One more thing. Little Stones bringing us back. 23 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to check out my blog. Yesterday's post was about giving customers what they want, not what they need. And then also we've got my newsletter is there. You can subscribe to that, my knowledge base. The Brain Trust members are there, thousands of them. Thousands of archives of past interviews, thousands of articles that I've written or my brain trust have written. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blessingame. Dave Kansas is our guest. His book is called The Wall Street Journal's Guide to the End of Wall Street as We Know It. He's also an editor-at-large for FiLife.com. Dave, you want to give us another website?
Well, I'm also, a lot of my stuff is on WSJ.com, Wall Street Journal Online.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So check that out. Okay, we're talking about the stress test. And so what if your bank failed the stress test? I mean, for one thing, Dave, if you're a small business and your main relationship is with a large bank, that's your primary business funding relationship, I got to be honest with you, Dave, I think you're in trouble. Let me put it this way. If you've needed money, and that was the bank that you had to go to, I think that you probably maybe already have been out of business, because the contacts that I've made with regard to those banks, Dave, have indicated that they were making no loans. What do you think?
I think that's right, and I think the question about what happens if your bank fails the test is very different for a small business owner than it is for an individual. For individual, yep, cash deposits are insured, and it's not as big a deal. But for the small business, you really want to be at a place that's lending. The big banks have not been lending. The ones that failed the stress test are probably going to struggle to lend going forward. It's really the smaller banks that have been stronger and more willing to lend over the last 12 months, and that's really been the healthier part of the sector.
In fact, there's a big myth going on around out there, Dave, about that there's not any credit available for small business. That's really not true. Independent banks and credit unions have lots of money to loan to small businesses. The problem has been small businesses haven't been making any demands for loans. The recent survey showed that capital expenditures are down, and of course we know that they're cutting expenses every way they can, including reducing payroll, reducing in various ways. So the problem is not that there's not any credit available for small business. There's just not any demand. Now, there is not any credit available, basically, very little, if any, available for startups. If you got a startup, you got big trouble, I think. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think if you're in the startup game, you're really looking at needing to bootstrap that situation, friends, family. The amount of money, especially from banks, going to companies without a proven profit stream is tiny or zero. Venture capital.
In the old days, Dave, bootstrapping included your own credit access. But today, yeah, most individuals don't have nearly as much credit as the average person did to start a business 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, banks have been aggressive at cutting back that credit, reducing lines, canceling cards.
Yep.
The startup situation is much, much tougher than it was just 2 years ago, and it's probably not going to loosen up for another 12 to 18 months.
I think you're probably right about that. What do you think about Wall Street? You know, we've had a little bit of a bear market. I mean, we've been in a bear market, but now it looks like we're getting a little bullish. Is this a dead cat bounce? Is this a bear market run up that's going to come back down? What do you think?
I think we've probably seen the lows for the near term. I in terms of how strong we can get, there's so much government spending and the interest rates are so low that I don't think it's going to take a lot to get things moving. So I think it could be for real. The big question is what's going to happen with inflation, especially in the next 12 to 18 months. I think that's the big concern.
That is the big concern, and even out 3 to 5 years, I'm really more worried 3 to 5 years from now than I am closer to now. You know, Dave, another thing that I think is important to point out is that we've got a lot of stimulus in the economy, but I fear it's the wrong kind of stimulus. In other words, it's government stimulus that you know, if the patient needs water and we've got a truckload of steak to give that patient, then you're not helping the patient. What do you think? You see my analogy?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think it's, excessive debt got us into the mess that we got into, and we're using a lot of excessive debt to try to get out, and it doesn't seem like it's the right way to go. But I think, you got interest rates at zero, basically. The government's spending money like there's no tomorrow. All that's, I think, going to lead, to our previous point, to an inflation issue, I think. And not many people are thinking that way, but I think that's what we're going to be dealing with.
Well, inflation, I fear that it could devalue our dollar significantly, which might help exports, but that's another story. Dave, the website is Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com, also FiLife.com, and the book is called The Wall Street Journal Guide to the End of Wall Street as We Know It. Thanks for being here, Dave. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Love talking to you.
Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you next time. Dave Kansas, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. He'll have a lot more to tell us. We're going to switch over now from Wall Street Journal over to Forbes. How about that? Yeah, we got Carl Lavin coming up with us in just a couple of minutes. Carl is one of the managing editors at Forbes. And we're going to talk about something called America's Most Promising Companies. Could you be one of those companies? You might be. We'll talk about that in the next segment.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.